Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of the Corner Store Podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Koval. You could follow us on socials, IG and Twitter, at cornerstore_pod. Please let us know who you want to see in the Corner Store. Give us a hint about folks you'd want us to talk with. As always, Max the Snack Tour is in the building. Mercedes Zapata is currently taking social media of the Corner Store right as we speak, actually. It's kind of eerie. It's very meta right now. DJ Cashera has left the building. She set us up to succeed. She fled the building like a superhero because she is one. And in the Corner Store, we have a really talented artist who both works in the studio, in the street. I don't know a ton about this person, but I am a fan of their work. We have Zor in the Corner Store.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here.
Yeah.
Now I am a fan, and I'll just say part of what attracts me to your work is that it feels like it is partaking in a lot of different traditions that are both kind of ancient, indigenous. Recall for me some of what you might find in Aztec, Mayan iconography, heavily involved in like a Latinx kind of iconography, almost like a woodcut print. Mm-hmm. And just there's a lot of lines in your work. Mm-hmm. But those lines then go to create some sort of symbolic figure, character, animal. And again, that kind of reminds me of like, maybe a kind of many, God worship, or just like, who folks are seeing in their daily life. I'm a fan. Before we begin, I want to, as people are listening, if you could give out socials so they can see the kind of work that we're talking about today.
Yeah, so I pretty much just use Instagram and have Instagram, and it is at ZZZ always with a Z at the end.
Cool. Also, I want to begin by welcoming you with the snacks that Max has secured for you. Max has gotten you to begin with a watermelon raspberry flavored coconut water. It's delightfully sweet. So I hope
open it right now.
You don't mind the sugar. Yeah, please do. We love sound effects. Also, Max, I've never seen these before. I am super curious about what these are. They are goldfish baked graham snacks, the vanilla cupcake flavor. They're goldfish that are vanilla cupcakes, but graham crackers. It's confusing what these are. But
super playful. I like it.
Okay, good. Good. I hope you enjoy them. Feel free to use them, share them, what have you, okay. Whatever you want. But let's just go back to, kind of what I was saying. Like, am I way off on a read of your work?
By describing it?
Yeah.
No. A lot of people say the same thing, that it reminds them of, like, Mayan or Aztec or African, like, cultural native imagery.
Mm-hmm.
That isn't necessarily purposeful. It just kind of happened. Like, when I started drawing and became obsessed with drawing, I just started drawing these faces and creating line work, and it's just grown since then. It's kind of just became my, signature go-to style. I don't really know where it came from, where it stems from. It's inside, without sounding too cheesy.
No, that's not cheesy at all. Well, let's track it down. Let's just begin where are you from?
I am from Chicago. I grew up in Chicago, but my parents are from Poland, and they moved here in the 70s.
Where in Poland?
The southern Poland, so like close to the mountains, a small village called Skrzypne and Sierockie, which is like 2 hours south of Krakow.
Nice. Okay. Yeah, I got people. My dad's mom's from Poland.
Okay.
And when I was in Poland a few years ago, I felt like I had came to a town of my cousins. You know, it was weird to look around.
Do you remember the name
of the town? I don't actually. It was south. I do know that.
Cool.
We were there for a jazz festival.
Okay.
And because I forget where it was, but it was also what I did not know is that Poland had a really good Polish b-boy b-girl scene.
Yes.
Which also stemmed into the realm of street art and some graffiti and I met a bunch of Polish streetwear designers.
Mm-hmm.
Which was pretty cool, like XXX Cartel.
Okay.
Or Backyard Cartel or something like that. Was a Polish streetwear brand.
Cool.
And they had a store. So your folks came. So you grew up Chicago.
I grew up,
has a giant Polish
side,
population.
So by Midway.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. And did you speak Polish in the house?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I had to go to Polish school. The church that we go to is Polish. As Polish as can be in the USA.
Right. Yeah. Well, and Chicago is kind of as Polish as you could be in the USA.
Yeah.
Right. I think at one point the biggest Polish population outside of Warsaw, which is significant. Your folks, what did they do?
So my dad is like a construction worker, single man business pretty much though. So he does, he used to do a lot of roofing and then now he just does like home remodeling, I guess. And my mom, she stopped working when I was born. But before that, she just worked in a factory, like a card making factory.
And do you have siblings?
Yes, I have three brothers.
Oh, wow. And where are you in the order?
I am second. Yeah. So I have an older brother who's 37, maybe. And then me, I'm 29. And then a brother who's 26. And then my baby brother is 17.
Wow. Okay. And are they artists as well?
Yeah, they all have a creative side to them. I definitely got a lot of influence from my older brother because he was always like doodling, cartoons, stuff like that. And then my brother, who's 26, is really into like carpentry and woodworking. He likes to draw too. I actually like went, like I would take him bombing with me, which is really funny because he had no idea about anything, but he was like the best sidekick ever because I felt safe with him. He's super strong. He could lift me up.
Wow.
So that was fun for like a year. And then my younger brother is really creative too, but in his own way as well.
Right. Yeah. So let's track your development. So when how early do you remember being into drawing?
Pretty much always. I never saw it or considered myself like an artist or thought that's what I wanted to do. But in spare time, like as a kid, I was always like drawing, painting. Art class was always my favorite class. In high school, I was like an AP art. But even at that time, like, I didn't really know that that was, like, a thing I was going to do.
Can you say where you went to high school?
Sure. I went to Kennedy, John F. Kennedy.
Uh-huh.
By Midway.
And so what kind of encouragement were you getting in your AP art class?
I don't know. I don't know if I was really getting encouragement, but maybe from my peers more than the teacher, that they, like, either would want me to help them with their stuff, or I could just tell that one of my pieces were maybe a little bit, I don't want to say better, but like stronger than some of the other students' works.
Yeah. Did you start messing with the line then or prior to that?
No. I didn't really start that until, I started the whole Zorzor thing when I was 20.
Okay.
So kind of late bloomer in a way. But I think the line stuff might come a little bit from, after high school I went to college for interior design. And we had to do a lot of space planning and floor planning and, like, a lot of just, like, graphic shape planning.
Right.
So I kind of reference that or, like, think that that's where some of the influence came from.
Yeah, and almost like a blueprint in some ways.
Yeah.
Like you're dealing with space in a particular way.
And sometimes when I look at my drawings, I'm like, oh, this, like, I could, like, see it as, like, a space. Like, especially for, like, parks or playgrounds or something, I could totally see, like, oh, this could be this or this could be this.
That would be, but, also, I would love, that would be amazing. I would love to see, that makes sense.
From, like, an aerial perspective.
Yes, right. Yeah, a maze, like, too, like a hedge maze or something like that.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that's part of, absolutely, because is that also part of what's happening in your work? Is there, like, an internal kind of conversation that's happening via the line?
Yeah totally.
And what is it like? What are some of the things that you're trying to convey?
What amazes me and like what always has amazed me once I realized it was how when I draw, most of the time it's just like free thinking. Like I'm not really planning too much. It's just kind of like going with the pencil or pen or paint, and wherever it goes it goes. And then usually when I look back, like later, even if it's like a week later, a month later, a day later, that's when I like kind of understand what my brain is like telling me or like my heart is telling me. So I don't know. It's like something I really can't explain. It's like really, what's the word?
Well, it's
I don't even know what the word is.
Well, it seems because it's both cerebral, but also it's a feeling.
Yes.
And you know, because it's, you know, it is to fit all those lines in a space is a kind of math.
Yes. And I always loved math, too, as a kid.
Which makes sense, given that there is kind of a geometry in your, you know, what I've seen of your work. But that you're also leading with a feeling, which is interesting, you know, and I don't think a ton of artists work that way.
Okay.
You know, it's because you're kind of accessing both parts of your brain, and all of us are, but I think you're doing it in a more pronounced way, like a marriage of what is formal structure and also a kind of freedom. you know, which is pretty beautiful.
Cool.
So you said the Zora comes when you're 20.
Yes.
Prior to that, are you paying attention to graffiti and street art in Chicago?
Not really,
right,
to be honest.
Okay.
No, I actually discovered graffiti and street art. Like, obviously, I probably saw it around.
Yeah.
But I wasn't, like, focused or really paying attention to it. But when I was 20 and I stopped going to school because I realized I didn't want to do that, that career option or career path.
Was that difficult for your folks?
Not really. They really give me a lot of freedom to kind of do whatever I want. They don't really give me that much guidance. They care more about if I go to church or not, to be honest.
Okay. All
right. But yeah, I discovered and fell in love with street art and graffiti in Paris. I lived there for 5 weeks with a friend, and had nothing to do but just like walk around and discover the city. And out there, like, Paris is a lot smaller than Chicago, and they don't really like buff as much. I think it's kind of embraced.
Yeah.
It makes the city what it is in a way.
Yeah.
Which
is incredible to see, right?
Yeah.
It kind of
blew my mind.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it is a kind of embrace.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, there are certain sections where you see it more and certain sections where you see it less. I think certain sections where it's looked down upon, but then there are neighborhoods where you're like, wow, it's just up and running.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you were there. What were you doing there for 5 years?
I was just honestly hanging out. Like, my friend was studying there, and she's like, come visit me. Like, you can stay with me in my dorm. So I lived with her in her dorm for free, just like taking that opportunity. Yeah.
And were there certain artists that you remember that were kind of garnering your attention?
Yeah, this is great because someone was asking me about this the other day, so it's like fresh in my memory. But I remember seeing just like this like cat sticker everywhere. I remember seeing like this like cigarette wheat paste with like this goofy face and like loving whenever I spotted it around Space Invader. Like, you know Space Invader?
Yeah.
Spotting his stuff everywhere was like the funnest like game to play, and like counting like how many of them can I find in the whole city. And I think I found like 30 of them.
Wow.
In the most random places, different sizes.
I love seeing him or other artists that I see in city to city.
Yeah.
You know, because I've seen him now in a number of cities.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah,
and it's incredible to be like, because you feel like you are, you know, maybe Adib is something I've even seen maybe on IG, but then to see it in real life in a city and then see him or any artist in a different city is a very special thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like I'm really finding these gems.
Totally, you know? Totally. And it's like you become familiar with them without really knowing who they are or where they're from.
Yeah.
But you recognize them and then you get to know their name and you're just like, what, over here too? How the hell did they get here?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So so when you say you spent 5 weeks, that's when it caught your attention.
Yes.
What did you started to think like, oh shit, maybe I want to do
this. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yeah.
What was that switch?
Just like realizing maybe just how much I loved it. Like, I loved finding it, spotting it, and then I just wanted to be a part of it.
So how did you get started?
So I met a friend, like I met this person out there, I remember like telling him, like expressing my interest and being like, and he was like, you know, I know where you can buy spray paint, like I know where the shop is. And I was like, cool, let me go buy a couple cans. So I bought like two different pinks, and then just started spraying stuff. Like, I remember like some of the stuff I feel really guilty about. Like, I remember being in like a club somewhere and being drunk and having the can in my purse, and it actually like exploded in my purse because the cap was still on it and I didn't realize it. My arm was resting on it, and then all of a sudden I smell the paint, and then I open my bag and I'm like, oh fuck, there's pink shit everywhere. But they still let me in the club. Like, they had to check your bag, but they saw I had like paint and a paint can in there, and they still let me in. And then I'm drinking, so you know, we get a little crazy. And I like spray painted the bathroom stalls like inside the club. And like, when I think about it now, I'm just like, what the fuck?
What did you write?
One of my faces. Like, that was like instant, which is really weird.
So it was something where you knew, you're like, I'm going to put a fake. Yeah. This is my, my signature.
Yes.
Of sorts.
Yeah. 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 It just like happened. Like, as soon as I picked up a spray can, I was just like, this is going to be it.
Right.
Literally. Like, no thought really. Just like natural instinct.
So you were wrecking bathrooms in Paris?
Yes, a little bit.
And then did you start to get into the streets in Paris? Or
Very little, because I feel like it was at the end of my trip. But I do remember, like, I had, like, a watercolor set with me, like, one of my first memories of that, too, and, like, taking watercolors and painting on a bench, and then realizing, like, wait, the rain will wash this away. I should probably, like, get a better material. But yeah, and then I think I just did bombing. And then when I got back to Chicago, that's when I started doing stickers. And then it evolved to like stencils, and then like creating a bigger stencil at home, and like spraying it on like newspaper or whatever, and then wheat pasting it out somewhere. And yeah.
How are you figuring all this out?
I think I'm like, I learn by observing and by watching and paying attention to things. So I think just like paying attention to what I saw out there and seeing how it was done. Just, I kind of like was like, oh, well, I could do this, or I could do this, I could do this. This works like this. I don't know. It's not too hard to figure out if you pay attention, I think.
And were there Chicago artists who you came back, starting to notice?
Yeah. I was a big fan, like, in Chicago of, like, Nice One, Lux, Clam Nation. I don't know if you remember him.
Yeah,
I fucking
Clamo,
love
yeah.
his shit.
Amazing.
Esper.
Yeah.
He just was, like, everywhere. Weed Wolf.
Yeah.
Weed Wolf was, I don't even know who that was, but he was a beast.
Yeah, I think Don't Fret has talked about Weed
Wolf. Don't
yeah.
Fret, he's
yeah,
great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Goons.
Yeah. Well, so what years are this? What years
this
do you come back
be
from?
2011.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's a good time for
yeah.
all of this.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Because I think, you know, even though the buff is very severe, I think that the buff hadn't yet figured out that street art was... It took them a while
yes,
to figure out what
yeah,
it was.
Yeah, what the difference
so
is.
So shit would run
yep.
much longer
mm-hmm.
than I think it does currently.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, street art in general is a little bit more like innocent than graffiti.
Yes.
And looked at in that way, I think, too.
Yeah. I like that you put quotes up around innocent. Yeah. Yeah. Because you're right. Because it's utilizing sometimes similar tactics as graffiti writers mm-hmm. and sometimes coming from the same community.
Yeah.
But treated differently.
Yeah.
You know?
For sure.
Because of that perception. Mm-hmm. So 2011, what... When do you remember some of your first forays into being on Chicago streets?
Yeah, I definitely remember like my first wheat paste ever. I think I did like four of the same character. It was like supposed to be like a nesting doll, because I really like nesting dolls coming from Polish culture.
Right, no doubt.
But in my own way, so it just looked like this weird blobby thing. But I remember making three of them. I put one up by, I think, what is now like the Chop Shop in Wicker Park, but before it was just boarded up. I remember putting one there, putting one right by the Logan Blue Line. Where else did I put them? I can't even remember the other. Oh, like one got taken down right away somewhere off of Milwaukee too. A lot of it was like Wicker and Logan though.
Right. Why that area, out of curiosity?
Because that's where I was hanging out at the time, and that's where I probably felt like I would get the most exposure, or like, you know, that's where a lot of that stuff was happening.
Okay, so I got a lot of questions about then your time, because you're still putting up stuff that
yeah.
is not sanctioned.
Yes.
Which is part of the reason why we want to make sure that we obscure your identity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you are a superhero, right?
That's superhero?
Yeah, you're a superhero. That's what street artists, graffiti writers are.
Cool.
You know, you guys come in the, you know, in the night or in the day, and
yeah.
you appear, and we're yeah. like, all of us are like, how did that happen?
Yeah, that's right. Cool, because I remember when I started to like Google myself, this like Supergirl would come up, and I guess her name is like Kara El Zor or something, which I don't know anything about comics really, but I was just like, whoa, my name is connected to Supergirl? Like, that's pretty freaking cool.
That's right. Yeah, appropriate.
Yeah, like, I'll take
it's it. Appropriate.
I will fly in the sky.
It is a... So some of my questions. One, in that time, it's, you know, 2019 going to 2020, run-ins with the law.
Have I had run-ins with the law?
Yeah.
A few times. My first time was pretty stupid, but it's like you learn as you go. But I was like... on a bridge outside of San Francisco. I forgot what the suburb was. And it was daytime, probably like 2 or 3 p.m. And I like, other than using spray paint or whiteout or whatever, I would carry around like a little bucket of paint and a paintbrush and like do my tags with that, which is, when I think about it now, I'm just like, that's so slow. What the hell are you doing? But I remember being on a bridge painting like this like face, like right there as traffic is going by. And this cop pulls over and he's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I can wash it off. It's just paint. So then he made me go to Target and like buy a gallon of water and wash it off.
And
but he didn't arrest me or nothing.
Wow.
So that was like super lucky. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. This ain't so bad. But then maybe 2013 in Miami, It was still too early to be out doing stuff, but maybe it was like 8 or 9 p.m. In South Beach. And there was like this abandoned hotel that was already covered in shit. Like there was like barely any space for me even to put anything. But I remember ducking in a corner, like doing a tag and like putting a can in my backpack and like walking away thinking everything's fine. And then like 5 minutes later, the cops pull up and I'm just like, oh shit. And I was like, oh, I can pull it off though. Like I'm a girl, you know, like nothing will happen. But yeah, they ended up arresting me. I had to spend the night in jail and I now have that experience.
Right. Did they charge you? Or they let you go?
They let me go, but I had to pay a fine, which I thought I was going to be able to get away with because it was in Florida, not in Chicago, and I live in Chicago. But no, they got me because my license was going to be suspended if I didn't pay it. So
right. That shit will follow you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's in the past.
Yeah, right. That's in the past. Good. And but like I said, you still do work that is not sanctioned. Mm-hmm. How often do you try to go into the street? As a practice?
To be honest, it's weird. I feel like when I'm home in Chicago, I get like busy with like life shit. So I don't do much in Chicago, but whenever I travel, which I try to travel as much as possible, that's when I focus on like, I'm going to like get up in New York and Miami and wherever I am. Cause I just have more time to dedicate to it.
Where are some of the memorable pieces of yours that you've been proud of putting up in the world?
Poland. I always love putting stuff up there just because it's like close to my heart. New York. I love putting shit up in New York because it's just like such an awesome city.
And are we talking spray, stencil, wheat paste, all of the above, stickers,
all of
everything?
The above.
Yeah.
The past year, it's been a lot of just like stencils and wheat paste. So I like make the wheat paste stenciled image at home and then like roll it up and bring it with me on my spirit flight. Yeah.
And then put it on the street.
Put it on the street, yeah.
And do you have a kind of some sort of practice where you venture into the street, you're wearing a mustache and dark glasses and a hat?
No, actually. It's like I've become so comfortable with it in a way, especially if it's a wheat paste, because I really feel like nobody cares about that stuff or like nobody will really fuck with you. And if they do, you can just peel it off the wall. So I really am not like afraid of that. Yeah. And like, I have a specific memory of like, kind of like breaking out of that fear or like feeling comfortable doing it no matter how many people are walking past. Maybe in like 2014 or something, I put a big wheat paste on the Berlin Wall.
Wow.
Like in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
And I was with my best friend. And he was like, dude, just do it, just do it, just do it, just do it. Cause people are nonstop walking past. And I was like waiting for the right moment. And it was like a big piece. I think it was 5 foot by 4 foot or something. So it's not just like, boop,
no,
you know, it took a couple minutes.
Yeah.
But that was like an exhilarating feeling just to be like, fuck it, I'm just going to do it. And there it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you've gone in the street, you have friends, homies, you're part of a crew. How does that work?
No, when I'm not a part of a crew. I've always been kind of on my own, and kind of just meet people along the way. And if I vibe with them, I would go out with them. Yeah, but then the last maybe 5-6 years, I've been traveling a lot with my best friend, who is also Zor. So he's been like an awesome support and just like watch my back kind of person. Because he also used to do all that stuff too. So,
yeah, Zor, the Chicago graffiti writer.
Yes, Mario Gonzalez Jr.
Oh wow,
Zor.
Yeah,
Zore. Yeah,
salutes to him. He's a legend.
Yeah.
And an incredible artist.
Yes, yeah,
very dope.
Yeah.
Now, did he put you onto the name or no?
No.
Okay.
We actually met because of our names, like not knowing each other at all, and then we were both in the Chicago Cultural Center show. Paint, pay, sticker, or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Shout out to Nathan. Right?
Yeah.
Who
so Nathan Mason introduced us.
Nice.
And he was like, Zor, this is Zor. And I was just like, ugh.
That's hilarious. did you guys have to battle for the name or did you come to an agreement?
He tried battling.
Okay.
And I was like, fuck you. This is my name, bro.
And now you guys are homies?
Yeah, now we're homies. The best of friends ever.
That's really cool. Yeah, he's super talented.
Yeah.
And we want to get him on the show at some point.
For sure.
And really, I'm excited about the gallery space that he's built in Bridgeport, which you have been a part of.
Yeah. Yes, we do it together.
My bad. I didn't even know that. Yeah. I'm sorry.
So originally, that was like a really cool organic thing that just happened. I was looking for a studio space and then came across this storefront in Bridgeport and just really, really felt right there. And then Mario was like, let's turn it into a gallery too, you know? So it's like part-time studio, part-time gallery.
And what is it called?
It's called Grace Jane Projects,
yeah.
Which also on Instagram is at Grace Jane Projects.
Yeah, and it's great. You guys just had a great group show. Maybe
yes,
it's still up.
We did. We actually just started taking it down yesterday, and I was really, really sad because the work looked so fucking cool, and I was like, oh, I don't know.
My man's Nick Fury was in there.
Yes,
there's a bunch
Nick
of people.
Fury,
yeah,
Jash,
really.
Corinna Button, Sally Coe, Juan Cano. Who else was there? Christy Lopez. I hope I'm not forgetting anybody.
A great group show.
Yeah, it was awesome.
So that's become an important space increasingly for street artists, graffiti artists, your gallery space. What is the future of that space look like?
It's really organic. It's like, because we both travel a bunch and we both have like our own art careers and then other jobs and whatever we're doing. So we just want to keep having like awesome shows. Like that's like the goal, I guess, is just to have really great work and really great artists in there that we believe in. And also giving like maybe some people that maybe haven't had the exposure, but we think their work is really great, like kind of like a catapult or like a first opportunity.
Yeah.
That's great for like group shows. I don't know.
Yeah, that's great. Now, you said you travel a lot, but you also have... Do you have a regular gig?
Yeah, kind of. I bartend by night.
Yes.
Which is great because it's super flexible.
Right.
Not like a super serious job or nothing.
And they're cool with you taking
off
totally when you...
They're totally cool, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have travel coming up? And how often do you travel to paint and for work and stuff like that?
Coming up... Not in the next... couple months really. I kind of have like this like goal. I definitely want to be in Poland and like Europe for the summer, like May, June, July, August. Originally I was gonna do like a whole year trip and like get away and just like only work on art for a full year, but now I'm just like thinking about that because a year is a long time, just to be away from like family and everything. But that's like the next idea in my head, but it's very, very possible that I'm gonna go other places. I think I'm actually gonna do Puerto Rico in February. But that's also still
good choice.
Just like
smart.
Up in the air.
Yeah.
I always kind of like last minute plan stuff and just go places.
Nice. And I want to talk about your studio practice as well,
yeah.
Right? Because how recently have you been developing that practice? Did that coincide with you coming back wanting to make work for the street? And you're like, I also want to make it for the studio? Or
yeah, it kind of is just natural too. When I met Mario, he invited me to his studio. And that was like my first experience like seeing an artist studio. I was just like, whoa, like... this is awesome. And just hanging out with him a lot, like just working in the studio, just became natural to create pieces. And then people started wanting art from me to like hang in their house or whatever. I don't know. I probably don't work in the studio as much as I should. But whenever I have like a project or a show coming up or something, that kind of like gets me in there and like focused and not just scatterbrained.
Well, and what does your practice look like? I mean, day to day, week to week, month to month, like in what capacities are you making? Do you have to sit down? Are you doing it every day?
It varies.
Yeah.
I always carry a sketchbook with me, just in case, or like if I have like some downtime. I'm always kind of like making stickers, I guess. That's kind of like been just like a time killer and like just keeps me practicing or something. I do everything by hand. Everything by hand.
That's time intensive for the work that you do.
Yeah, I know. But I love it. Like, I don't ever want to change that because it just is, like, way more special to me when, like, something is, like, touched by the artist.
For sure. Is it meditative?
Oh, totally. 100%. Yeah. Like, if I'm not creating art and, like, just, like I get, like, stressed or something's wrong with me, I'm just like, oh, it's because I haven't been painting.
Right.
Or drawing or whatever it is.
Right.
Yeah.
So in the field, there are a lot of women, but I also, there aren't, it seems to be, especially in street art, graffiti, it is a field of a lot of dudes.
Mm-hmm.
And so being a woman, being solo in the work, how has that been for you?
Awesome.
Yeah?
Yeah, I love it. It's cool because like that's not something I ever really thought about or cared about. But once I realized that, I was just like, fuck yeah, this is awesome. Like, I'm a chick. And usually people think I'm a guy. Like, most people think I'm a guy because I'm anonymous,
right?
Which I love.
Right.
I love, like, confusing people, or, like, or I walk in the room and they're just like, what? That's you? I know, what the fuck? Yeah, I don't know. I love it. And especially, like, too, at the Culture Center show, which was my first big show that, like, changed my life and made me realize, like, people know who I am, or, like, I'm being noticed, or I'm respected in a way. I was one of, I believe, three females in that show, and I don't know, I can't remember exactly how many artists, maybe like 20 different artists, and the youngest, I was 23 at the time. So that felt really good and gave me like a confidence boost.
That was a big show for the city.
Yeah.
You said it changed your life. What are some of the things? This is now, for those that don't know, this was a, you know, kind of first of its kind, mm-hmm. street graffiti art show that the Cultural Center in Chicago curated. Nathan Mason, great curator, mm-hmm. Had to fight to get it mm-hmm. inside mm-hmm. of the Cultural Center. Whereas, you know, the Cultural Center prior to that is someone who has helped to kind of demonize street graffiti art. You know, so mm-hmm. who, you know, who is, it's through the Cultural Center that, you know, something like the Graffiti Blasters is, you know, in mm-hmm. part passed, mm-hmm. right, in the 90s. And, but this was a significant, show for the city, but mm-hmm. but also for you. You said it's changed your life. What happened after the show?
I don't know, like, just by being a part of it. And when I walked in the room, I didn't realize how much history there was in graffiti culture in Chicago, because I really came into it and started doing it blind. Like, I don't know anything, I don't know anyone. All I know is that I love this and I want to do this. So when I like went to the show and was just like an attendant in attendance there, I was like, wow, like, how did I get in this? Like, there's people that have been doing this from like the 80s, 70s. I've been in it for like 2 years. What? Like, I don't know. It just blew my mind. And like the way that Nathan curated the space, like when you walked in, my pieces were the first pieces you saw. Mm. And they're just like, and I just created these pieces like with whatever skill level I had at that time, where I just buffed some newspaper. I like glued together like, I don't know, 12 sheets of newspaper, created like this 6-foot by 5-foot canvas, paint, like buffed it, and then painted this girl figure, and then like painted two more on the sides. And he just like clipped them up with binder clips, like how I would hang it in my room. And everyone else, you know, was, I don't know, I just couldn't believe I was in that level or that like running or caliber or whatever of artists.
Yeah. Well, yeah. A nod to the future as well.
Though, yeah.
Right? So now in 2019, going into 2020, you are an established member of the Chicago street art and gallery space and scene. Mm-hmm. How do you think of the lay of the land right now? You know, like, who are you? You mentioned some of the folks when you came in that you're inspired by. Mm-hmm. Who are some of your peers or folks that you look to who are motivating you now, or the folks that you
directly in Chicago?
Yeah.
Definitely Zor, Mario Gonzalez Jr.
Stays making dope work.
Yeah.
Both like big scale work. Like,
yes.
Some of his paintings.
Yeah. And we work a lot together. We collaborate a lot together. I painted my biggest wall with him, like a 3-story building.
Wow.
In Dubuque, Iowa, which was my first experience like painting something in that scale. So he's a huge, like, probably number one influence on me and my work, and even the way that I go about things and learn about things. Yeah, I don't know. And then other artists that are just like inspiring me right now with like their work, because I really crave and like love originality, like something like, oh wow, I've never seen that before, like what, this is awesome. Huge fan of Jash or Josh Grotto right now. His shit is just like, I fucking love it. I was like talking to him about the other day about just like, what does your studio look like? Do you just have like scraps of paper everywhere?
Yeah, because he's taken really fondly to the collage.
Yes, yeah.
And but like kind of color schemes in it.
Yeah,
too, right,
which
exactly.
Which is like so different than his studio work.
Yeah, because he's a dope writer.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's how I know him. And then he's starting to put up some of the collages on IG. I'm like, shit, okay, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm inspired by a lot of people, I guess.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. So when you are not making, when you're not at the bar, when you're not, you know, putting in time at the gallery, what are some of the ways that you kind of feed yourself just to be a person? Like some of the ways that you chill or, what, you know, like how do you unwind?
I'm obsessed with thrift store shopping. I love it. And I get inspired a lot and like find like objects that I want to like paint on or like use in my work in some way. I love items, like things, clothing, like crazy, weird, vintage clothing. I love patterns, fabrics. Oh,
your coat now is dope. It says cash. What does it say?
Cash only.
Cash
this
only.
I actually impulsively bought in Miami.
Okay.
Like a couple weeks ago at Max Club Deuce.
Okay.
It's like this like awesome bar in South Beach. You can still smoke in there.
Oh, wow.
Which I don't smoke, but it's just kind of cool.
That you can. Yeah. Yeah.
If you smoke. Yeah.
So you thrift shop?
I'm obsessed with thrift shopping.
Uh-huh.
What else? I like walking. I just like walking around. Obviously I love nature. I love hiking. Like if I go on vacation somewhere, like I love to go hiking in the mountains. That's how I spent my past birthday. I just like was in the mountains and like was like super fucking high up there. And then like a storm came in. Like I saw these black clouds coming in and I was the only one on the path. And I was just like, oh, I gotta run. I literally like ran down the mountain hoping not to get electrocuted. So that's what I like to do with my free time.
Yeah, no, nature frightens me. So I try to stick in to a street. But
and it's cool too with like mountain and climbing. I always want to get to the top and tag my name.
Word, do you do that?
Yes.
Word.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's like my like one of my favorite. Like, and that's just for me because like no one really will see that and it'll get washed away or whatever. But I know that I did that, and it's pretty fun.
That's pretty cool. And that's also I think kind of some of the most ancient forms of graffiti writing.
Mm-hmm.
It was like I was here.
Yeah.
You know, and that's because that's part of what the tag is.
Yeah.
Is like I was here.
Yeah.
If that here be on the train or on the top of a mountain or just in a moment of life.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's just a way mm-hmm. that people have mm-hmm. historically chosen to mm-hmm. identify their bodies, mm-hmm. their lives.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's cool too for me to see like stuff from like when I was a little kid, if I'm like in my parents' attic or something and I'm like, whoa, I used to write on all my stuff always.
Right.
So it's like kind of cool that that's how I like started my art making too, or like took, like that's where it kind of began, is just by like writing on walls or like writing in places where you're not supposed to, because I always did that.
when you said, because I love to walk and I love to walk in the city, and now I've been, you know, following folks like yourself, street artists, graffiti mm-hmm. artists for so long that even in my mind, when I'm walking a city, sometimes I'm looking for, you know, your work and the work of your mm-hmm. colleagues, but I will also be thinking now like, oh wow, that'd be a good spot to put something up.
Yeah,
it almost like a second nature at mm-hmm. this point where mm-hmm. that's one yep. how you observe a city?
Totally. There was this one spot, like an underpass by like Ashland and Archer, kind of where you get on I-55 going south or whatever direction that is. I remember eyeing this spot for like a few years and I was like, I know when I want to put there. I want to put it there. I know I want to put it. But it took me like 2 years to actually be like, okay, I'm going to finally do this. And I did it. And that was like, I think one of the greatest paced moments of my life. I did like this cool like character, pretty big actually, but just like fit perfectly in this little nook. And now when I drive past it, it lasted like a month. But when I still drive past that spot, I'm like, I want to hit that spot again.
Right.
It's such a good spot.
And then at some point you begin to have your spots too, right?
Yeah. Especially as like a graffiti writer, like that's kind of like what they try to do or you try to do is like maintain your spot.
Right. Are there spots now?
Territorial.
Are there spots now that you're currently holding down?
There's one that I need to go fix because I just saw that someone like went over me. So, but that happens. Like
sure.
I don't find any offense in it or nothing.
You don't take it as a sign of war?
No.
Okay.
No.
Some people
I take
do.
It as
Some
a sign
do.
Of like, damn, this person doesn't know who I am, so that's why they're going over me. That means I got to be like stronger and more dominant, you know? But whatever, they're probably just a kid that doesn't know what they're doing. But I want to go repaint it, but now I'm like, damn, it's winter.
Right.
So it's going to have to ride like that until the spring or like when it's warm enough to go repaint it, which sucks, but whatever.
Right. And when you are out walking, like what are the things that you're looking for in terms of a canvas?
I don't know. Just like an interesting location. I don't know.
Yeah, bet. So in 2020, I mean, where will we be able to see your work?
Around the city?
Sure. Or you know, internet, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know. I know that I did a project for like Berwyn where they like did this rail like along the metro tracks or something. So I know two of my pieces just went up over there. So that's like new. There's this other project I was supposed to do, but I think they just postponed it. So hopefully that'll happen next year. I might be painting something in Pilsen, probably also in the spring. Because that's what's tricky right now is the weather.
Yes, it's very tricky and shitty.
Yeah.
And getting increasingly shittier.
Yeah.
You also have a piece coming up at Young Chicago. I think you're part of a show that Max has curated.
Young Chicago Authors, which I'm really excited about.
Well, thank you for being a part of that show.
For yeah. Sure.
What can we expect to see in that show?
I don't know yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. To be determined.
Yeah. To be determined.
Great. Well, Zor, it's incredible and outstanding to talk to you. Where can people be in tune with your work one more time?
Yeah. So my Instagram is @ZZZ, always with a Z. And then you can follow the gallery at Grace Jane Projects, also on Instagram.
Great. Well, thank you so much for being in the Corner Store.
Thank you.
Shout out our super producer, DJ Cashera. Big up boss man, Todd Manley. Thank you to our official Corner Store photog, Mercedes Zapata. Salutes to the Snack Door, Max. Also, please, y'all, follow our Instagram. It's corner_pod on IG, on Twitter. Tell us who you want to see in the Corner Store. And also, please consider dropping a couple of dollars into our Patreon account. It's patreon.com/cornerstore_pod.
The Corner Store is brought to you by Stolen Spirits.